Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. As Nathan reminded us, in Annapolis today is what they call sine die, the last day the legislature is in session this year. This morning, we're going to look at some of the bills the General Assembly passed that affect the environment. And joining me now to talk about this is Tim Wheeler, environment reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Good morning, Sheila. How are you?
Just great. How are you?
Okay.
At the beginning of the session, there were, dozens of bills to repeal the stormwater runoff fee. Briefly, Tim, remind us what that fee is meant to do.
Well, this, in 2012, the General Assembly passed a law requiring Baltimore City and the nine largest counties in the state to impose fees on property owners to help control stormwater runoff. Polluted stormwater is a significant and growing threat to the Chesapeake Bay. As you might imagine, it's sort of related to the amount of development you have. And while there have been regulations in Maryland for years to require new development to limit stormwater runoff, there's a lot of development that was built before there were those regulations, and that's been contributing stormwater pollution for many years.
So this is money that would build facilities to handle stormwater runoff, or
yeah, mm-hmm. It would basically capture the runoff, allow it to soak into the ground. That's the preferred method. Sometimes treat it to remove dirt and pollutants. And you know, and the challenge, of course, is to go into already developed areas and sort of put in rain gardens and green roofs and things like that that would soak up the rain.
Okay, so a few years ago they passed a fee, the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, and at the time they basically said that, and this was intended to help it pass. They said basically one size doesn't fit all, so we're going to let every county in the city adopt their own fees, and that they did. Some set fairly high fees, others set fairly low ones, and there was a lot of uproar as these were coming out last year. There was an attempt to put the law on hold. It failed at the last minute in the legislature, but by this year, all the counties in the city had adopted their fees, and there were variations in them, and there were people complaining. The people with large parking lots and a lot of buildings were looking at some pretty steep fees, and folks who, churches and nonprofits who normally don't pay taxes, were also looking at some fairly steep fees because some of them have pretty big parking lots too. And so there was a lot of pressure, a lot of complaints. There were those who, you know, rather cleverly called it a rain tax and questioned the whole premise for the fee. You know, accused governments of basically just trying to find another way to take money out of their pockets. So there were over a dozen, maybe 20 bills, as many as 20, that would repeal it, that would exempt individual counties or municipalities from the fee, and others that wanted to change the fee in various ways to scale it back.
And what came of all that?
Well, very little. In the end, all the bills either died in committee or been bottled up there. You know, there was where there's a will, there's a way, and there was actually some language inserted into the budget that was approved over the weekend that would essentially, I guess, bless a deal that the state struck with two counties that, you know, really sort of challenged the fee. Particularly Carroll County refused to adopt the fee at all and said that they were putting enough money in their budget to take care of their stormwater control projects, and Frederick County set a fee of 1 cent, flat fee of 1 cent per property owner, essentially saying the same, that we will take care of this with existing revenues. Carroll County was threatened by the state for not adopting any fee with fines, and ultimately they negotiated a deal that the state blessed, and then this language that was inserted in the budget essentially blesses that deal.
You mentioned that the opponents generally call it the rain tax.
Mm-hmm.
Does that catchy rebranding, did it have any impact on how these things turned out
well,
in the legislature?
Well, it certainly got us all talking about it, didn't it?
Do you think that's the primary reason?
Yes. It was not successful. There was a lot of pressure to let these fees stay in place for at least a year and let the localities work it out. They can, of course, alter and change them from year to year. And I don't think there was a whole lot of stomach, if you will, among some legislators to fight it out over this thing again.
That's Tim Wheeler, Tim Wheeler, who covers the environment for the Baltimore Sun here on WYPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Tim, the legislature passed several bills that would affect wind development in the state, one positively, one negatively. First, tell me about the bill that would have a positive impact, the one that would affect farmers.
Sure. The legislature adopted a bill that basically allows farmers who've already sold their development rights to the state under the Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Program to use a small portion of their preserved land for renewable energy, specifically for wind or solar or for a form of energy called anaerobic digestion, where it's a form of composting, if you will, to generate power. The bill would allow them to use up to 5 acres of that preserved land. Now, there was, you know, some debate. The fact is that this program, the Ag Land Preservation Program, in selling your development rights, you basically pledge that you will keep that land forever in agricultural use. And so this obviously was a change in that plan, and there was some debate about that. And ultimately, the deal that was worked out was that the farmer would have to share some of the revenue they got off of any energy project that was put on their property.
Because normally that land would be used only for farming, as you said, just agricultural use. So this could be seen as a camel's nose in the tent.
Yes, exactly. And there were those who said they were worried about that. Some still are. And in the nature of these things, you open up a little, exemption like that, and somebody else comes along and says, hey, you know, what about this? What about this good project, too? This one in particular was done. What perhaps drove it more than others was that there's a wind project up in Kent County that is negotiating with farmers up there, and many of the farmers that they want to talk to have already put their land in preservation. So the developer said without this exemption, that project may not go forward.
Another bill pitted Southern Maryland against the Eastern Shore. Yeah. Over a wind project.
In the lower Eastern Shore. Kent County's on the upper Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
The lower Eastern Shore one.
In Somerset County.
Yeah. In this case, Southern Maryland legislators were worried about a wind project that is in the planning stages in Somerset County, just across the bay from them. And they were worried that the turbines with their big spinning rotors were going to interfere with the radar that's used by Patuxent River Naval Air Station over in St. Mary's County on the other side of the bay. St. Mary's is a... The Patuxent River Naval Air Station is a huge job generator and economic engine for Southern Maryland, specifically, particularly for St. Mary's.
Let's hear what one of the legislators had to say in presenting the argument from St. Mary's point of view.
We're not willing to jeopardize St. Mary's County, our residents, our naval installation for this proposal. If it can be compromised to keep the turbines under the height, we're fine. We really are fine. But the minute they go up and obstruct that view and start messing with that radar system, that's when the problems start. And this is Project A, and I can mark my words, I can come back here next year, and Project B, C, and D are going to be out there too.
It was John Morgan, a commissioner, not one of the legislators, a commissioner in St. Mary's County. So what happened in that debate?
Well, the lawmakers proposed a bill that would essentially bar for 13 months any turbines over a certain height, and the heights were graduated, determined by how far out the radar needed to see. It actually needed to see out like 56 miles in order before a turbine wouldn't be visible over the horizon. And unfortunately, you know, from the standpoint of this project, the turbines that they wanted to put up were about 600 feet tall, and they would have been high enough to be seen across the bay by the radar. Now, the developer argued that basically, you know, there are already laws in place that require us to negotiate with the Navy that we can't go forward without their approval. And they had, in fact, negotiated a tentative agreement, at least, with the Navy that basically said, look, we'll turn off our turbines whenever you want to use your radar. And the Navy had, it would appear, agreed to that in principle. An agreement was drawn up. One signature was put on it. And then the signature stopped about the time this bill came forward. And there was a lot of debate about what the Navy was worried about here, but the Navy itself never really spoke.
Governor O'Malley is traditionally a big supporter of wind power. Is he likely to sign a bill that would create a moratorium?
That's a good question. It puts him in a bit of a spot. His administration opposed this bill. argued it was unnecessary, that, again, these federal and state laws would give the Navy adequate, you know, control over any project that might interfere, and that that by cutting off this wind project, basically the developer said, you know, if you do this, another year's delay, we've already been in this for 3-4 years, it could kill the project, we'll walk away. The O'Malley administration said they were worried that this would send a bad message to wind developers. 56 miles covers a good part of the state, if you will. It reaches all the way up to Annapolis. So,
Tim, I appreciate your walking us through these. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Tim Wheeler is the environmental reporter for the Baltimore Sun. We've got more information about these bills and a bill that increases the acreage labeled wildlands in Maryland. All that on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Tomorrow we'll discuss bills the legislature passed in some other areas. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.